thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I know that a lot of you like a title, and I had been asked by Anne and the pastor what title I wanted to put on this tonight. It's not so much a title as more of a question. A fool at the pool. A fool at the pool, question mark. Okay? Some of you may say to me, oh, that's a bit harsh, Mark, because some of the people that were around this pool at Bethsaida were in a really desperate situation. But we're going to look at it tonight, a fool at the pool, okay? It's John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to commence to read from verse 5, okay? John's Gospel 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." What a strange rule, folks. What a strange rule. "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Amen. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we come around your word tonight, Lord, and you know the situation, Lord. So I just ask tonight that you will guide and you will bring to remembrance all that you would want to have said, Lord. And take these stammering lips. And Lord, may we have ears to hear and hearts and minds to take it in and understand it all. Have your way, Lord. Have your way tonight in this house, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Friends, a well-known story. I'm sure you've heard it been read before and maybe spoke on before. And as I said, my title was, or my question was, A Fool at the Pool. Before we get into the story, we need to go back into chapter 4 of where Jesus was and where he had come from to be in Jerusalem at this period. I believe that Jesus was going to Jerusalem because I believe he had three divine appointments there. Number one, he was coming for a feast that was on. We hear that mentioned in chapter 5, verse 1. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So Jesus was going to Jerusalem primarily for this feast. I think secondly, he was going for the meeting with the man. And I think thirdly, his divine appointment at that time was because he was going to be revealed unto the Jews. And I think that was the thing. Because in the chapter before that, Jesus had come out of Samaria and he had come into Cana. And when he was in Cana, there was a nobleman who came to meet Jesus in Cana, and he come from Capernaum. Now, if you know your geography of Israel and the Holy Land, Capernaum would have been about 15 to 20 miles further north than Cana. Jerusalem's down in the south, about 60 miles below that. And we hear the story where the nobleman came because he had a son who was dying and at death's door. So the nobleman came to Canaan to seek out Jesus. The nobleman didn't know who Jesus was, but he had heard about him. And he was in dire straits because his son was at death's door. So he was really seeking Jesus, and he came to Canaan. And he knew that Jesus could help him. And there was a strange conversation took place between them because he wanted Jesus to come with him to come and heal his son. But Jesus said, no, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. That's John 4 and 48. And the nobleman replies to him and he says, sir, come down, my child dies. Jesus just says to him, go your way, your son lives. And the man went home. I think there was, when I say about the divine appointments, I think Jesus knew he needed to be in Jerusalem. And it's not that he doesn't care about the man's son or anything like that there. He didn't want to be distracted by having to go to Capernaum, which was taking him further away from Jerusalem than where he was in Cana. And we read on that the nobleman goes home. The nobleman arrives and the servants come out and they say, your son lives, your son lives. He inquired when it happened and he knew it was at the exact point that he had been speaking to Jesus. And we go on to read that him and all his family and household believed on Jesus. All his household believed in Jesus. I know there are many in here and you're praying for your family. I'm doing the same. I don't think there's anybody in here who has a member of their family who doesn't need Jesus tonight. If I was to ask you to put your hands up that there's a member of your family, that you have a member of family that doesn't need Jesus, I'm not so sure there'd be any hands. And if perhaps there was a hand went up, well then you have a friend or a work colleague that needs Jesus, friends. It would be nice to see them here. This is a wee bit of encouragement to you. Even though this man was away from where his son was, and even though Jesus didn't come to heal his son, keep praying, folks, for your families. Keep praying for your families. Keep bearing them up in prayer. And I know there are many praying. There's an urgency in prayer at this moment in time for many of our family members. And I know there are other people praying for other people's families, myself included, and I know there's many have come to me and said, we're praying for your children, Mark. And likewise, I'm trying my best to return that favour in praying for your families. Friends, keep at it. Keep at it. It would be great to see them here. It would be great to see them here. You know what? They don't need to be here to be saved. They don't need to be here to be healed. They don't need to be here for Jesus to touch them. All we need is the faith of a noble man. So bear that in mind and moving forward. Yes, Lord, we pray that they will come in and hear the gospel, especially moving forward with this mission. Oh, it would be nice that we'd be here. Time is a wonderful thing. You don't play about with it, friends. But keep praying for your family. Pray for one another. Because Jesus can touch you, even they're not here. So bear that in mind. So that brings us on now to what we want to speak about tonight, okay? We're going into chapter 5 now. So Jesus, this has happened in the previous chapter. And then we're told then that Jesus comes down for this feast of the Jews. There's a bit of debate as to what feast it was, but he was there in Jerusalem to be part of this feast of the Jews. And then we're told that there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So we've got a pool. I don't know what size the pool was. I don't know how deep the pool was. But here we are, this pool having five porches. And in these porches, we're getting a picture here. You're trying to build up a mental picture here in your own mind. And in these lay a great multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. What a desperate place. It's probably the place where in those days, no social welfare, nothing like that there, all the down and outs of society were found in this place. And they were found there because there was this phenomena of this moving of the water. Now, I'm not going to get into that tonight because it's probably more for a Bible study. It is a bit of a debate in Scripture about, there's a couple of verses in some of the original manuscripts aren't really in the original, but there is a lot of debate about what has happened at this pool where this moving of the water, a rippling of the water, and then first in, get healed. It seems strange, really. When did this happen? There's debate as when that happened. Was it only during the feast that this angel came down and rippled the water? Much debate about it, and we can get sidetracked a lot by that. It's not the first time God uses unusual ways and methods to heal. And this is one of thankfully that's one of the things that's left in the sheet that I have here. Some people were healed by purified stew in 2 Kings 4:38-41. Naaman was healed by washing in the Jordan River, 2 Kings 5:10-14. One was healed by touching the bones of Elisha, 2 Kings 13:20-21. Some were healed when the shadow of Peter fell on them, Acts 5:14-16. And some were healed when Paul's handkerchiefs were laid upon them, Acts 19:11-12. So it's not extraordinary that there was an extraordinary event took place around this pool and God healed. God healed in many strange ways during the course of Scripture. But this is the scene that we have, friends. An angel went down in a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first, stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. I'm taking out of that he has been here 38 years. But he has had the infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already, because Jesus knows everything, friends, so Jesus knew already that he had been in the condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What a strange question. Do you want to be made well? You see, sometimes we get ourselves, if we've been sick so long, we get into a state where we almost accept it, friends. People don't really want to be healed. And in these days, I read one of the commentaries, and I would have had their name down in the sheet. One of the commentators said about those days that in those days, obviously when you were ill and infirm like that there, you got a certain amount of money given to you by people passing you by. And it was a great source of income. And some people didn't want to be healed because they didn't want to give up the source of income. Strange, but true. And I think that still thought process abides in a lot of people today. But this is where we were. Jesus comes in. He asks him to do. The sick man answered him, verse 7, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am coming down, or while I am trying to reach the water, another steps down before him." It must have been a frustrating place to be, as well as a miraculous place to be. But Jesus touches the man's friend. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And verse 9 says, "Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked." And that was the Sabbath day. There's a parallel story in the book of Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John are entering the temple and there's a man lying asking for alms at the side of the table, or at the side of the road, sorry. Peter and John says, "Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have, I give unto ye. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. What happened to that man? He got up and he went running and leaping and praising God. This man didn't do that. This man didn't do that. And I'm just wondering, did he actually recognize who Jesus was when he came there? Because it appears as if this healing that he had didn't have too much of an effect on him. That's what it appears to be when you read the Acts 3 account of Peter and John. The other man got up and he was just, wow! There's no wow factor here. I find that a little bit strange. I'll tell you another thing I find strange. If you're around a pool with many people who are afflicted, blind, lame, paralysed, and this man walks in off the street, goes over to one of the number, goes down, you're probably at the back, you'll not hear what the conversation is, but all of a sudden this man who's been sitting there 37 years gets up and walks out, would there not have been pandemonium among everybody else? Come here, excuse me, sir, could you come over here a wee minute or two? What did you just do in that man? What happened here? Nothing. I would have thought there would have been absolute, total and utter chaos in that place. But no. Nobody recognised, nobody seen a thing. The man got up, he lifted his bed and walked out. And what's the lesson in that for us? The only thing I could think on was the rest of them were that focused on the pool and waiting for the rippling of the water. They never seen anything that happened going on beside them. They never seen this man getting up and walking out. They were that focused on the pool. Is that like us sometimes? Do we miss Jesus? Do we miss God when he comes here because we're focused on something else? You're maybe outside of Christ tonight, friend. You've maybe been coming here weeks, months, maybe years, and you're still outside of Christ. Are we saying that Jesus never visited? No. We believe he's been here on many occasions. We believe he's here every occasion. We pray and hope that he's here every occasion. So why are we missing him? What are we focused on? Because time is short, friends. It's a serious thing to miss Jesus. Dear soul, if you're outside of Christ tonight, you have another opportunity tonight to meet with Christ. Are you looking at the pool tonight? Are we looking at the pool? Are we waiting on the rippling of the water? Have we excuses? Some people wait for a more convenient time. Some wait for dreams and visions. Some wants to see signs and wonders. Some wants to be compelled. Some are waiting for revival. Some are waiting for practical feelings. Some are even waiting for celebrities to come forward and deal with them. Dear friend, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Tonight is the night, is the time to get right with God, friends. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. None whatsoever. You've heard that before. We all know it. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. When you drive buses and you meet more or less a lot of the same people, you lose people from time to time. Not off my boss, but you know, they pass on. Funny enough, when I say that, I lost something in a skilling one day, but I got them again. It's all right. Eddie was a regular traveller in our bus. He was knocked down and killed 2 weeks ago. You know, it challenged me. Did I ever get an opportunity to speak to him? It was a rough diamond. Sad. But snuffed out friends like that there. It could be anybody at the end of the day. It could be any one of us. Just happened to be Eddie. I also had another passenger used to come on the bus. And I always knew where he was going anyway. Him and his sister used to travel on the bus. They used to come on, they slapped the pass down, and they always said, Tenerife, Mark, Tenerife. Or Costa del Sol. And I never blinked an eyelid. I just punched the ticket out, and I says, there you are, friend. You have to change in Coleraine for that. Or you have to change in Ballymena. Him and the sister and the brother-in-law were driving down the road one day, a number of years ago now, probably five or six, probably just before the pandemic, maybe around that time. I don't know what happened to them, but they never stopped at the crossroads. A car come the other road, T-boned them. Three of them like that there, snuffed out, the blink of an eye. Oh, dear soul. Don't you stare into the pool of Bethsaida tonight and miss Jesus in here. Don't stare into the pool of Bethsaida tonight and miss Jesus. I hope and pray I am presenting him to you tonight. Do not miss him. Because there was an absolute, total and utter array of people missed him. Missed him. And they needed him. They were in desperation. From a physical point of view. But tonight, friends, you are in desperation from a spiritual point of view. Do not miss him. Get your mind focused tonight and listen to what God's saying to you. Because he'll be speaking to you. I hope and pray the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and challenging you. Anyway, the man leaves. And that's why I say, full at the pool. They missed him. I might be wrong in that, but that's what I get from the story. They seem to have missed him. The man leaves. And then, of course, he bumps into the Jews, the boys that are leading the... Shouldn't be carrying your bed on a Sunday, dear me. What a strange rule. But anyway, they challenged him on it. The man doesn't even appear to have asked who Jesus was. Or, like I said, he seemed to just walk away. And then in verse 14 it says, afterward Jesus found him. See, they meet up again, but it was Jesus who found him. He says, see, you have been made well. I don't know whether Jesus had sought him out to say, excuse me, you left and never said anything to me. See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And the man departed again from Jesus. And again, I don't see any running and leaping and praising of God. Where did he go? He went straight back to the Jews. And he said who it was that made him well. And for this reason, in verse 16, then it goes on to say, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. I can't say, friends, if the man just turned his back on God and went away. I hope and pray that he knew who Jesus was. He knew what had happened to him and that he started to follow God. I can't judge him. I can only go by what I read there. But there's certainly a different response to his healing than what we've seen in Acts 3. Somebody who realized what had happened to him, and he went running and leaping and praising God. From a spiritual point of view tonight, friends, it would be wonderful to see somebody running and leaping and praising God because you had found Jesus and here. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And you need him, friends. You need him. And there are people in here, and I know many of you have been saved for many years. And we all still need him, even after 20, 30, 40, 50. I'm looking at faces. I'm not trying to judge the ages of 60 years. I don't know how long you've been about. We all still need him, don't we? And we all have our moments where we stare into the pool and we miss him. Look for him, friends. Search for him, because he's there. And if you're outside him, outside of Christ tonight, you need him, friend. You need him. You need him. Because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. None. There's a couple of instances I gave you, and I'm going to give you another one, which is one of the... We don't believe in sad conversions, okay? But I'm going to give you one. I'm indebted to Philip McClellan for giving me CDs and preachers and stuff like that. One of the CDs he gave me was of Sam Workman. I don't know if any of you would have it at home. You may have. I was fortunate enough. I had a few tapes at home. You young guys will not know what tapes are, okay? So bear with it. I gave them the role of Pastor Dempster on his preaching of the end time events. And Phil has got them made out onto CDs for me, and he's got them all back to me. They are as clear as crystal. And wonderful preaching. And he might be able to get you a set if you want to get a set. But one of these CDs is of Sam Workman and a mission that he took up in Coleraine many, many years ago. And he tells this story in one of the CDs. He had a mission on in another part of Northern Ireland, away down near the border, down in the south of the country. I'm not south of Ireland, the south of Northern Ireland, okay? And just like you young men here, these boys would have been slightly older than you. Four young men come in one night at the beginning of the first week of the mission. And as they were going out, one of the young men said to his friends, I would need to speak to that wee man Workman. That wee man has challenged me tonight. That wee man has spoke to me tonight. Guys, I want to go and see him. And the three boys said, catch her, son. Come on, it's just... Going on to listen to that, speak to that wee man. Hey, a titter of what? Come on here. We have somewhere to go tonight. No, boys, I want to go in and see that wee man. Come on, they said. Come on. And they dragged the young fella out. Well, at the weekend, the four guys were out. They were out probably for a beer or two. Going to run them down for it, that's what they were doing. But the story went that wherever they were going, one of the cars pulled in. And that young fella got out, and whatever happened, it doesn't really explain in the CD, but the other guys were coming along in a car behind, and they hit him and killed him instantly. The other group went back to the mission following week, and after the service they went in to see Sam Workman, to get saved. And that's when they told him the story of what happened to that young man. They came to know Jesus, but it was a sad conversion. Because in the words of Sam Workman, he said, guys, you may have laughed them out of that meeting that night. You'll not laugh them out of hell. You'll not laugh him out of hell. Friends, if you miss the Saviour at the side of the pool tonight because you're looking at the pool or you're looking at something else or you've put it off, you've rejected him time after time, he's speaking to you again tonight. We've heard various speakers up here over the last few number of months. I think they've all brought you Jesus. And yet, you haven't made that decision yet. No guarantees for him. There's nothing any of us can do if God should call tonight and say, time is up. Time is up. Oh, you could drop like a stone. Could be the heart, it could be anything. But I've given you three accidents tonight that have happened. Some of them I've known personally, other ones I don't. It's just a story relayed of a CD that was given to me. Friends, a lost eternity is real tonight. A lost eternity is real. And death is no respecter of age, guys. Part of my job as a bus driver is you take children to school. I know two or three that aren't here today. They've died in my time at school, taking them to school. I know of another young man that's just come into my head now. He had left school a year. Up Glenullen he lived. The following year after he left school, he was coming down the road, and again, knocked down by a car and killed instantly. Boys, into an eternity. Where? Where? So death is no respecter of age, guys. Death is no respecter of age. Get right with God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. When it comes, when everything is stripped away, friends, when it's all laid bare. Only Jesus will do. What else are you going to go to a holy God with? Maybe you don't believe in it. Ah, not nonsense, Mark. Well, that's fair enough. Take your chances. I wouldn't want to be going that way. I want to be meeting God with Jesus. Oh, friends, I want to tell you something. Fall every week. Fail every week. Make a fool of myself every week. Cross with myself every week. If there's anybody in here who is not, please come up and tell me what your secret is. Life doesn't always go right, friends. I know that. Life can be tough. He never turns his back on you, so don't you turn your back on him. You hold on to him with all your might. Because he is the only way you will get through life. He is the only one you can cling to. He is the only one can give you what you need to get through the situation that you're in, wherever you may be. And I want to tell you something, dear friend. If you have not got Jesus tonight, you need him. I've said it time and time again tonight. You need Jesus. No guarantees. From the youngest, whoever that may be, to the oldest. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, search out. Search him out. Search him out tonight. Stop staring into the pool. Because you may miss him if you're not looking for him. Do you agree with me? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.